You know, I know it's my job to talk, but I got nothing. I got nothing. I mean, what fresh horrors await us on a nightly basis? And it's what you feel like. I feel like that's what you think most nights. And oh my goodness, I'd say it's unbelievable seeing these kinds of losses. But the truth is, it's very believable, isn't it? It is extremely believable. Oh my goodness. Hoffman gives up a bunch of hits in the ninth. The offense can't provide much insurance. And here we are again. The Jays, losers of now four straight tonight. Another demoralizing loss. A 5-4 walk-off defeat to lose the series in Anaheim. They will try to not get swept tomorrow. They are now 16-20. The Jays actually started this season 12-8. They have gone 4-12 since that 12-8 start. That's where we are. You're listening to Jays Talk. Show Ali with you. We're live on the Sportsnet Radio Network. We're also streaming on sportsnet.ca and on the Sportsnet app. As with last night, because the Stanley Cup playoffs are in full swing and keeping everyone pretty busy in addition to the late hour, it is once more Tom Young and myself keeping the lights on at Baseball Control. So texts are the way to reach me. 590-590, name and location. The People's text line is always open. Standard messaging and data rates may apply. We will, as I said yesterday, get back to taking your calls on the weekend and beyond. But I do promise to read as many of your texts. Keep them PG, although I kind of self-edit, I admit. But we will read as many of your texts as we can squeeze in here tonight. It's truly unbelievable, though, right? I mean, the last four games, Schneeman, an extra inning grand slam, a 6-run eighth inning last night, and then a bases clearing hit in the bottom of the ninth inning. Just hideous stuff. Just absolutely hideous stuff. There's a text here from Claudio in King City. Well, show with our bullpen struggling, I still pin this on our inability to hit for power with men on base, especially in the seventh inning tonight. No outs, two men on, Vlad, Anthony, and George all having poor ABs. Too many high leverage situations for our pen. And yeah, I will get to the seventh inning in a sec. I'll say this, like I do think the pen, and I mean Hoffman in particular tonight, and Chris LaRue said this before we got to Jays Talk, Alejandro Kirk's going to wear this a little bit, but you know, too many non-fastball pitches called probably from Jeff Hoffman. I mean, he got the lone strikeout he got tonight was on the fastball and, you know, more or less right down the middle, but 97 miles an hour can help make up for a lot of things. And you want to see more of that heat from Hoffman. I can't imagine it's fatigue related because prior to last night, he had not pitched since Friday. So I don't know. I mean, he's got to wear it a little bit. I don't think you can completely absolve Hoffman or Jimmy Garcia for that matter, although he obviously didn't pitch tonight. So we're not going to bag on Jimmy, but I mean, I don't think you can completely absolve these guys when they are the one physically throwing pitches, but my goodness, that is just hideous. On the seventh inning, though, talking about Claudio's text, so bottom of the order comes through, right, in that inning? I mean, it's been too often a non-factor. Clement gets aboard with a double. Jimenez bunts. He gets aboard. Miles Straw kind of protecting and still scores a run with a ground ball RBI single. Jonathan Clase beats out a throw with his first major league hit of 2025, at least. It was another bunt. I mean, we talked about small ball a lot, how the Jays kind of have no choice but to try and engage in more of that. And, I mean, the balls are real small. I mean, they cannot get any smaller at this point. But then after Bo hits the two-run single, that was his first hit all series. Vladdy, Santander, and Springer come up with no outs and runners on, and they can't get it done. Like, they all go down. And yes, the Angels exited that inning 4-1. I cannot believe they won that game. But hey, I mean, you gotta execute. And ultimately, the Angels executed in the end, and the Blue Jays' biggest bats did not, which is kind of crazy because they're for the biggest part of this game, for like two-thirds of this game, it did feel like the Blue Jays had a pretty good shot to pull it out. And for the, what, six-ish innings that Yusei Kikuchi was on the mound, and we'll talk about Kikuchi, certainly, which we've done many times on Jays Talk, just from a different perspective tonight. But with Kikuchi on the mound, the only person who looked like he was alive when he was at the plate was Vladimir Guerrero Jr., and then he doesn't get it done in the biggest moment. I'm not going to say it's all on Vladdy by any means, but my goodness, I cannot believe this is where we're at yet again. I got to think based on the text line, they flew in here. My goodness. But I got to think you guys feel the same way. Quentin from Courtney, BC, unwatchable, unbelievable. Like all fans, genuinely mad at management. Atkins and or Schneider must be canned soon or we riot. Kyle from Bethany. Oh, Kyle just saying, listening to Ben and Joe for the Leafs. So some shout out to Joe Bowen as well tonight, which he very well deserved, is amazing. So there you go. Some positives for Ben and Joe outside of the results for, well, you know what? The Leafs result was pretty positive. So I think Joe and Jim will absolutely take it. Ben, I think will take a win. Certainly, Forbes in Toronto. So this is what we were talking about. Forbes saying Kirk calling splitter after splitter instead of letting Hoffman's fastball eat. And the game is lost in a slider. He overcalls junk with Y-Rod too for everyone. Yeah, I'm with you, man. I'm with you. Forbes is bang on. Kirk's got to wear this a little bit, at least a little. I mean, again, Hoffman, you wear that too. You're the pitcher, but I've used the word eminently avoidable before. What bothers me is that ultimately it feels like this is a conversation we've had before, right? Not just about Kirk, but just about like not showing off your best stuff. Hoffman's bread and butter is the fastball. He has a nasty fastball. A little bit of movement. The velo is pretty filthy. You got to just show it off. And I understand. Like, you're not going to throw like a million fastballs in a row. But I mean, how often have we spoken about this season? I'm trying to think of the pitchers who throw triple digits. But like, you know, Andrés Muñoz and Emmanuel Clase relatively recently. How often you see them come into games and just absolutely blow guys away? You want to see that from Jeff Hoffman. Let's see. 595.90, name and location. Jay from London simply says, man, these guys can't buy a win. So frustrating. This person, who's this? Oh, Cam and Cape Breton. Really? Again, I stay up until 1:30 a.m. for this. That's right, because in Cape Breton, it's even later. Oh, boy, I feel bad. I feel bad for you, Cam. I do. How is it not Jeff Hoffman's fault? Ryan in Innisfil, this has got to be a breaking point for this team. I know it's quote unquote early, but every game matters when it comes down to it. The offense needs a boost and the rotation needs youth. Make the pivot before it's too late. But here's the thing, Ryan, and feel free to text me back. But like, what would the pivot be? Right? Cause I think we've run into these spots before where we're like, I'm not disagreeing with you. It's just, we've said, this is a breaking point. This is where things have got to change. And doesn't it kind of feel like you just keep digging and you just keep finding new lows? I don't know. I'm not sure. We were talking about this in the pregame show and how something is not connected with the talent and the process. And these results happen, but when they happen so often to the same group of players, I think you start to question, and we're well past starting to question, but you question all of those things. Like, are the players really as talented as you believe they are? Is the process really working? And again, I've always believed this, but processes are installed from the top down, right? Like, they're not only installed from the manager. Like, you can blame John Schneider if you want, and you know I have. It's not like I've shied away from doing that. I've done it as recently as Saturday. But, you know, ultimately, I don't know. I mean, this probably comes from the front office. It just, you know, like when you watch, and I'm getting more macro here, but when you watch every team in the division win the division in the time that Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro have been in charge of this team, you know, I think it makes it harder to stomach. Like, I think I've gotten a lot of texts, not just tonight, but I've gotten a lot of texts over the last several years, texts and calls. And I mean, I monitor it for Blair too, and it's been the same for him. About like the general sentiment, even if it's been said slightly differently from person to person, like, when is it going to be our turn, right? Like, when is it going to be our turn to win 100 games? Or when is it going to be our turn to win the division and go to the ALDS? Or when is it our turn to have a really wild offense, which the Blue Jays did have in 2021, but of course they missed the playoffs that year. So what does it matter in the end, right? I think there's been a lot of that sentiment for Blue Jays fans. And I got to say, I can't really disagree or blame anyone for feeling that way, because you always say, well, you know what, you make, and I hand up, I've been guilty of saying this. You say, well, you know, you get into the playoffs and anything can happen. Maybe you too can be the Nationals like that one year. pre-pandemic. Maybe you too can have your Cinderella run like the Arizona Diamondbacks did to the World Series, right? Like, I think we have a lot of those conversations. And I mean, in theory, it's possible, but I'm not sure we've seen a lot from the Blue Jays. I would like, certainly in the entire tenure of Atkins and Shapiro, but I would say more specifically in the last 3 years, right? Post-2021, when the team really made a decided shift, a concerted effort to go towards the run prevention era and, you know, defense first, right? And I got to say, hasn't been a lot of fun. Barker says this all the time. Sports are supposed to be fun, right? Baseball is supposed to be fun. I have not had a lot of fun. I don't know about you guys. I have not had a lot of fun in the last couple of games, certainly in the last couple of years on a consistent basis. Like, I like to think I am one of the more patient people, all things considered. Maybe, honestly, like maybe to a fault in the sense of like I may be more willing to accept bad results because I think it's going to turn, like it'll turn any day now. I think I totally will hear the criticism of that approach. But I mean, if I feel like this is going to make me insane, I can only imagine what you guys feel. Tom has a straight face, but I think he feels the same way. He feels exactly the same way. I know you do, Tom. All right, let's take a quick break here, Tom. And when we come back, I do want to talk a little bit about Jose Berríos. And we're going to read as many of these texts as possible. There's like 30 texts I haven't gotten to. So let's read a lot of texts. We're here until the top of the hour, 590, 590, name and location. That's the people's text line. It is always open for your texting pleasure. And then we will also chat a little bit about Berríos. And if we have some time, get to the bullpen pitchers, not named Jeff Hoffman tonight. So still lots to come on the final segment here until the top of the hour. You're listening to Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Time now for the Bet365 standings update. You can download the Bet365 app for today's baseball odds and find out why it is never ordinary at Bet365. 19 plus, play responsibly. Ontario only. Let's check in as we welcome you back inside Jays Talk. Let's check in across the division as it is quite late. All of the games across the division are done. So, of course, we have our game. The Blue Jays losing 5-4 to the Angels. They are now 16-20. Other games from around the division. It took extras for the Yankees. They did pull it out thanks to JC Escara, an RBI sac fly. Yankees win 4-3. The Phillies blank the Rays 7-0. The Red Sox scratch out a win over the Rangers, a 6-4 win at Fenway. And the Baltimore Orioles, I believe, also lost tonight. If I could find that result. Here it is. The Twins beat the Orioles 5-2. So with all of the scores final, the Yankees, they are 21-16. The Red Sox are 19-19. They get back to 500. They're 2.5 games back of the Yankees to the division lead. The Rays are 16-20. The Blue Jays are also 16-20. So both teams 4.5 games back of the Yankees. And then the Baltimore Orioles are 13-22. So not a great division, if we're being completely honest, but those are the standings for the Bet365 standings update. All right, let's go back to the text line, 590, 590, name and location. And I'm trying to kind of cobble together a lot of these texts because I think a lot of them are about making change, right? Patrick from Victoria, Schneider changes pitchers too often. Quite a few games, they run out of pitchers. The last two games in Los Angeles were just horrible. EOS from Guelph. We need a manager like the caliber of Terry Francona or a Dusty Baker. Too much talent on this team that is not motivated by their current leader. Just like 89 when Cito took over a 12-24 team and won the division. There's another one, Shane in Brockville. This falls on John Schneider, his game planning slash approach, as well as killing this bullpen. He needs to go. It's been 3 years of this nonsense. He is the common denominator. Christine from Toronto, when is it going to be time for ownership to make changes at the top of this organization? They keep getting worse year after year. They took an exciting team, made them boring to watch. The team is not talented enough. They need to stop pretending they're anywhere near being legitimate contenders. John from Guelph, the John Schneider watch is officially on. And Pat from Kelowna, fire somebody, fire anybody. Somebody has to be held accountable. So see, a lot of people blaming John Schneider. And I mean, I've said this before, but I do think that is the easiest, you know, domino to make fall. It's the largest bullet in your chamber in that sense, right? Because the manager and the head coach of any team can always be fired just to shake it up, right? Luckily for the Blue Jays, if they did decide to do that, you're not going to go externally, I would imagine, right? I mean, I don't think it's going to be Don Mattingly if that were to happen. I got to think DeMarlo Hale is the guy who would be tabbed. From all accounts, he's quite respected. But, I mean, at the same time, does this not, to a certain extent, go maybe even above Schneider? I mean, there's one here from Mike in Toronto. Fire this front office into the sun. Atkins cannot be allowed to replace another manager, nor be the one to oversee the inevitable sell-off. Enough already. And I mean, yeah, I've said this many times last year. I can't believe we're having this discussion on May 8th, May 7th, 8th, depending on where you're listening to this, when you're listening to this. But, oh boy, it's just something's got to give, right? Something's got to give a little bit. At the same time, I mean, I think the PR aspect of it, in terms of how it reflects in the front office, if they're letting go another manager, does not generally reflect well on them, which is why I tend to believe it won't happen. But I mean, if you're going to lose games like this in demoralizing, debilitating, disgusting fashion, right? If you're going to lose games like this over and over and over and over again, I mean, you might not have a choice. I think that's just the truth. You know what it actually reminds me of? This West Coast trip. If you recall, a couple of years ago, prior to John Schneider getting tabbed as the interim manager, but when the Blue Jays went west to play the Mariners, if you guys remember, they played the Mariners for four games in Seattle, and I forget if they lost three or if they got swept in that series. They might have gotten swept in four games. And I only really remember the poor result because I did Jays talk for those games, and I remember people called in and said, hey, show, is this going to be it for Charlie Montoyo? And by the end of the day, it was. It was in the end. So, I don't know. Mike from Toronto can text back saying, these texters blaming John Schneider are ridiculous. Atkins doesn't get to fire a third manager. I mean, I would say he's fired four, right? If you're talking about, if you add John Gibbons in there as well. No, three, but dismissing John Gibbons. You want to hire a fourth manager rather? I don't know. I don't think you really want to do that. Jeff Partington in Toronto, time to shuffle the top of the order. Just do something different. You've blown late inning leads on back-to-back nights to the AAA Angels. Wake up already. This one is from, actually there's no name on this one, but it just says the Jays are suddenly reminding me of the Expos. Montreal will go to LA, build a lead, and lose late in the game at Chavez Ravine, almost always in heartbreaking fashion after fans had mostly gone to bed. I mean, I really hope we don't get to that point, but you know what? What am I saying? We're at that point already. Carl in Kimberley, BC. Love John Schneider and appreciate everything he's done for the organization, but in light of the fact we don't have assets to make a trade, the logical thing might be to try a new manager, someone with experience who can look at trying to do something new on offense and light some kind of fire under these hitters. I mean, the conversation about firing John Schneider does somewhat remind me of the conversation we had like not that long ago about firing Guillermo Martinez. And then you're like, okay, well, they did it. They pulled that trigger. They used that bullet and they hired Popkins instead. And it's not like a lot has changed, right? So at some point, like to go back to the whole talent and process intersection, I mean, how much of it falls on the players? I tend to believe that you don't just become bad hitters to a person overnight. So is it the process that's being installed from the top down? Is it saying that, hey, hit for contact, do things differently than we want, than you are used to, because that's the approach the team is going for? I'm not entirely sure. Without being in there, I'm not sure any of us can really slam dunk say, but like, I'm kind of with you, all of you guys, when it comes to just, I think change is ultimately needed, right? Because again, when you take into account the quality of opponent, and again, I'm not saying this to be like rude to the Angels, but given their own scuffles this season, they had won 13 games coming into this series. Now they've won two straight, right? Like Toronto's really down bad right now. The Angels, prior to yesterday, I believe the Angels had not scored more than, I want to say they hadn't scored more than six runs in a game since early April. And then yesterday, they scored six runs in the eighth inning alone. I mean, Yoan Moncada hit a home run off of Jose Berríos. And we'll talk about Berríos to wrap up here. But Yoan Moncada hit the home run, and he had not hit a home run prior to yesterday since late September 2023. And he has now hit two home runs in as many games, including tonight, right? For Paris, the nine hitter for the Angels. He had not hit a home run since early April, and he gets off the schneid. I mean, you don't want the Jays to be the get right games for other teams. That has been the case often this year. There's a text here from Nicole being like, hey, Nicole in Ottawa, pardon me. Nicole, appreciate the text from you, Nicole. Appreciate hearing from you. She says, paraphrasing here, you know, tell me about how the Angels are the team that, you know, the Blue Jays should eat. And it's true. I mean, I think we often talk about how the Jays need to get wins against certain teams because those are the bad teams. I mean, I think this is long confirmed before this series, but I'm guessing pre and post game shows for other teams are likely thinking right now the same thing about the Jays whenever they come to town or whenever they head to the Rogers Center. I mean, when you lose games in the fashions the Jays have, it's inevitable at this point. Quickly on Barrios, 6 innings, 5 hits, 2 runs, both of which were earned, 5 walks. You got to clean that up. 9 strikeouts. He faced 27 batters, 89 pitches, 55 of them were strikes. It feels like a bit of a waste, right? Feels like a waste because I thought he looked pretty good for the most part. Changeup working, slurve working, sinker wasn't as quite confident in it, although I think maybe his best sinker of the game came to Taylor Ward when he painted the edge of the strike zone. And I mean, he pulled a wild Houdini act in the 5th inning, runners on 2nd and 3rd and nobody out. But I said this on social media, and I think I said this out loud to like nobody here in the studio when this happened, but please, for the love of God, score this man some runs. Like, don't waste this outing. And I know he gave the home run to Kyron Parris that kind of marred the outing to a certain extent, but score him some runs. And again, I mean, it felt like Yariel Rodriguez was decent, all things considered tonight, but again, he still got pulled with a runner on. Brendan Little really walked that tightrope tonight. Like, my God, you talk about tightrope walking. Barrios with the Houdini act in the 5th, and then Little later in the game, and he gets the curveball on, was it Joe Adell, I think, to end that inning. But gosh, I mean, you could not have walked a finer tightrope, specifically with Barrios and Little, and then it all just evaporates in the span of, what, like 5 minutes in the bottom of the 9th inning. Again, like, Hoffman's going to wear it. Kirk, Rubin, and Alberta texted in, you can't blame it because the pitcher is the one who calls the pitches. Like, okay, I get it. I'm not saying Kirk is the primary culprit. I think they both earn it a little bit. But yeah, ultimately, I just don't know how many more times we can have this conversation. Honestly, we've been on for like half an hour. I guess we could go longer if you want. But the truth is, we have, generally speaking, just talked about the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over again. Whether it's me or whether it's Blair and Barker, the problems remain the same. I don't think we got any new answers tonight. In fact, we might have more problems given that the once reliable late inning relief pitching has now become shaky. But again, I think the solution, as with most things here, would be simply to get more runs scored, right? I mean, again, like Claudia pointed out at the very beginning of Jays Talk, Vladdy, Santander, and Springer coming up with nobody out and runners on and not getting it done is probably where this game was lost. Obviously, where the game was actually lost was when Hoffman gets walked off, but boy, I don't know. I guess we'll do this again tomorrow, if you guys really want to. We're all gluttons for punishment, I suppose. But either way, I do appreciate you being with me on Blue Jays Baseball, which is brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Bridgewater and Liverpool, Nova Scotia. Crown is proud to be Canadian-owned and operated since 1986. Protect your vehicle from rust today at your local Crown Rust Control Center or visit crown.com. Crown is Canada's number one rust protection. For Ben Schulman, Chris LaRue, Tom Young, I'm Sho Ali. As Blair likes to say, we will do this, whether you like it or not, all over again tomorrow night. The Jays will look to salvage the series with a win. They will look to not get swept in California before heading to the state of Washington. They will take on the Mariners for the beginning of the next series. I am here all week long for Jays Talk, so appreciate all the texts at 590-590. Keep the texting fingers hot. We will continue to chat tomorrow. Have a great night, everyone. We'll talk to you later.